PR 2022-6926, sketch plat PS 2022-88 for Vincent Sanchez at 2514 and 2518 Carson Road and 2429 Pueblo Benito Court. All right. Is that Mr. Sanchez there?
This is Vincent Sanchez. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great. Why don't you go ahead and give us an overview of what you want to accomplish?
Okay, me and the neighbor Emilio, he's next to me right now. We are wanting to swap land in order to make a more buildable lot for myself and have a buildable lot for him. The plans that we gave you we're proposing to I'm proposing to give him a little over 24 feet off of track number 2291A, and in return he's going to give me 12 feet off of his lots off of Pueblo Benito, lot 17 and 18. So that's going to give us give me a little bit deeper of a lot to build on. That way we're hopefully not right on the road. And then that will give him a buildable lot, because lot number 17, the existing lot line actually goes through the center of that house that you see there, between 17 and 18. And so we're trying to move that lot line to that to the green line right there to give him the a buildable lot off of Carson.
Okay. All right. So in a way, 18 is affected as well. Lot 18, correct?
Yes, 18 will become a little bit larger of a lot. He's giving up a portion of a lot 17 to 18 to where it will be a true city lot for that house. And then that the extra lot that's on 17, that will be a brand new lot, buildable lot for him. So there's still going to be four lots. We're just shifting the lot lines.
Okay. And then lot 17 would have access to which street?
Off of Carson. Yeah.
Off of Carson. Okay. Yes. And that little flag there. Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and get you some comments, Water Authority.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. So we do have existing accounts for parcels out there. We do have existing water and sewer mains in both roads covering the entire frontage. With the reconfiguration, it appears that all of the lots will have direct access to those existing public mains. And when you construct a home, the process would be what we call a tapping permit. It's our most routine process that your contractor basically comes in, installs the new service line, and you get your account set up and meter. So for us, you're in our minimal review category. I don't see anything in this that jumps out at me as far as going through the platting process that's gonna come up. We are not gonna require an availability statement with this one. So that affects what you need to submit. We do not need one in this case. So we'll mark that not applicable on that form when it comes up. And again, once you come in, you're ready for building permit. It would be a tapping permit through your contractor is how you would get those service connections. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer, but that's all we have for this particular case. Thanks.
Okay. So on the tapping permit, that's done after the building permit is submitted.
It's done with the, this is Blaine for the Water Authority. It's typically done with the building permit, around the same time. So underground utility contractor. So usually your general contractor for your home construction would hire them as a sub, and they would go get the water
connection. And that would be both for sewer and water?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Code enforcement?
This is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. There may be some misconceptions I have of the replatting here, so bear with me. From my perceptions, the comments related to my perceptions, and then we'll try to correct any discrepancies there. So let me begin by just saying that the replatting of the property cannot increase an existing non-conformity or create a non-conformity of the IDO. Properties are all zoned R1C and must meet the dimensional standards of IDO section 51C, table 511. And you must meet all requirements of IDO section 54 for subdivision of land, but we're particularly concerned with code enforcement with IDO 54C compliance and zoning requirements and 54F lot design and layout, and would encourage your reference to those sections. The minimum lot size for lots in the R1C zone, when going back to the dimensional standards, is 7,000 square feet. The proposed revision, if I am reading this correctly, would greatly reduce the size of proposed lot one, track 291B, and would significantly, therefore, increase the extent of nonconformity in violation of IDO section 54C1. Compliance with zoning requirements, and 54F4, remainder lots prohibited. An approved variance to lot size would be required from the zoning hearing examiner, or ZHE, prior to submittal of a plat for approval, if that is the case. The proposed revision is also insufficient to allow tract 291A, proposed lot 2, to meet the size requirements of 7,000 square feet, though this may be allowed as per another section of the IDO, 54C1B, which states non-conforming lots may be replatted without requiring variance to lot size if the replat meaningfully decreases the degree of already existing non-conformity. So what I'm saying there is it is non-conforming, it's not the 7,000 square feet, but you're making that a lot larger. So it's decreasing the non-conformity. So that may be allowed, but with what's happening with proposed lot one, it was already non-conforming because it's too small and you're making it even smaller. That's what the crux of those two comments are and problem. Properties noted are located in an area of consistency and you must meet the contextual lot sizes as per IDO section 51C2. So calculations are needed to determine if the proposed lots fall within the allowed contextual lot sizes for the respective block areas of these properties. And I submitted earlier some contextual lot calculations on attachments to this. Before I get into that, I did want to go ahead and go back and give you an opportunity before we get too many things on the board here to have questions about the lot sizes I talked about regarding proposed lot one and proposed lot two. Am I reading that correctly, that in these size changes related to those lots?
Yes, those are correct. So, okay.
Okay. Does that make sense what I've said so far on that portion?
Yes, so far, yes.
Okay. Well, let's get into the next part then. This is all sometimes a little complicated for folks getting used to the contextual lot size allowances. So with the contextual lot size allowances, I gave you some calculations, but to rather than reiterate all those calculations, I'll cut to the bottom of my comment item 7, which was that proposed lot 2 is 0.1342 acres, which is within the allowed contextual lot size. That proposed lot one at 0.902 of acre is lower than the allowed minimum contextual lot size of 0.1040 acres. So there's another complication with proposed lot one is it's smaller than the minimum lot size allowed according to the contextual lot size calculations for the lots that are fronting Carson Road. And so again, you would also have to obtain a approved variance from the zoning hearing examiner prior to replat for it being lower than the allowed minimum contextual lot size. So you've got two variances that would need to be approved
Let's see, did Mr. Palmer freeze? Okay.
I'll go check.
Mr. Sanchez, can you hear Mr. Palmer?
No, I can't.
Okay. Sometimes I wasn't able to hear, but.
I lost him when he said that we needed a variance approval for a lot size from zoning. That's what that was the last thing I heard.
Yeah, I think he was pointing out two potential variances that would be required under this configuration. One might relate to the minimum lot size for the R1C zone, and the other would relate to contextual standards.
Okay.
And all that gets a little complicated. These are fairly irregular lots. There could be some solutions in moving the lot line a little bit, but I think let's see if we get him back. And
yeah, I just noticed that I was not connected, but yeah, I'm okay.
Mr. Palmer, excuse me, Madam Chair. Cut out about the time you were mentioning contextual standards and the need for a variance on contextual standards.
Okay, variance for contextual standards for the proposed lot one?
Yes.
Okay. So the due to the it being below the minimum allowed contextual lot size, then that would require a second variance for that lot for that it's lower than the allowed contextual lot size, minimum lot size allowed.
What was that minimum again?
That minimum, I think it was emailed over to you, but we can send those again afterwards. But that minimum lot size for the lots fronting Carson Road is 0.1040 acres. And the maximum lot size would be 0.1734 acres. And that's for any properties fronting Carson Road in that block.
So you're saying the minimum is 0.1040 and the max is 0.1743?
1734.
Oh, 1734. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That is correct. So again, this is Jeff Palmer again. So now that we've touched on proposed lots one and two, now that I'm fully aware that proposed lot 17A is going to be fronting Carson Road as well, I did not include that in my comments prior, but I'm adding that now to make a note that by my calculations, I didn't see them on the map there, but with the 8,000 square feet, that would be 0.1836 acres.
Yes.
And that would be exceeding the maximum allowed lot size for the lots fronting onto Carson Road. So again, you would either have to reduce the size of that lot or to meet it, or you would have to seek a variance for the difference and the from that maximum allowed lot size from the zoning hearing examiner.
Okay.
And then finally, for the lot that remains, that would be fronting Pueblo Bonito, the maximum allowed lot size for that lot and for those in the block area along Pueblo Bonito would be 0.2939 acres. And
repeat that, please.
0.2939. That's the maximum allowed lot size. And your proposed lot size is 0.3103. So once again, we are exceeding the allowed lot size. And to proceed, as you've got it lined up, you would have to get an approved variance prior to submitting the plat. That's all I've got. I know that's a lot, though, but it's all about the contextual lot sizes, matching those numbers up, and those minimum lot size requirements. Perhaps if you have some flexibility to shift those lot lines a little, you might be able to adjust all of those to fit within those parameters.
Okay,
let's go to Parks and Rec.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with the Parks and Rec Department. The long-range
bikeway system map shows a proposed trail on the adjacent MRGCD unclassified right-of-way, but it does appear that there's more room for it on the other side of the channel. So I just wanted to confirm that.
With me or with who?
Well, you can, do you have any comments on that?
Because you're correct in that assumption, because we're not modifying anything that would affect that.
Okay. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Okay.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Let's see. You'll need a cross lot drainage easement for the proposed plat, naming beneficiaries and maintenance responsibilities. You can get with me offline and I can help you with the wording on that. Prior to approval, you need to coordinate with MRGCD on the proposed ditch easement vacations. I looked at the aerial. I mean, it doesn't look like they're currently being used as ditches, but you'll need to coordinate with them to make sure that they approve of those easements being vacated.
I've already done that, and they said it was okay because they pulled up the maps, and they said that nothing's being affected on their end.
Very good. Very good. Let's see. And lastly, for any future development, like when you develop lot 17 there, an approved grading and drainage plan is required prior to building permit if any of our thresholds are met, and that's included in the comments.
Okay, transportation.
Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. Show right-of-way in relationship to existing pavement section to ensure all pavement is within defined right-of-way. This especially applies to Carson Road. When we look at these plats, we look for opportunities to see whether or not roadway frontage improvements are needed along the site. So I just wanted to continue with my comments. 5-foot wide sidewalk is required on both Carson and Pueblo Bonita Road along the platted parcels. Also, a minimum 48-foot wide right-of-way with a 28-foot wide roadway section is required for Carson Road, which follows the new DPM criteria. And then show any roadway easements, if applicable, ensure these meet sufficient requirements with respect to length and infrastructure, et cetera. We want to make sure that all these plats do have access to the right-of-way with the required width of private easements.
Okay, thank you. Planning?
For web planning, the first couple of comments are our standard comments as you move forward with the platting process. So if you have questions on those, we can help you as it moves a little bit forward. The site is located in area consistency, and code enforcement had covered that with you guys. But if you have more questions, you can follow up with Jeff or I, and we're happy to kind of help you through that particular process. And the rest of the comments that we had mainly were about future development, which you guys decide to, you know, build another house on it, and some of the different requirements that you'll have to look at beforehand. So just let us know if you have additional questions on through those, and we can help you move forward with everything.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and move on to